can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today on the Movie Podcast, we are talking about two films, both of which have to do with the topic of drugs. one of them more with the transport of drugs, and another with a story that gets wrapped around the disappearance of some drugs. Yes, interesting topic, I know. But I am excited to talk about both of them. The older one that I will be talking about is a film called Brick. And I really have enjoyed this film for a long time. I first saw it just on TV when you're just flipping channels. And my dad, he loves this film as well. So whenever it comes on TV, he does like the classic DVR. He records it and then we always make a point to watch it. And it is now on Netflix so that you all can see it. And I think that it is a wonderful noir-style drug-related crime drama. It also stars young Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so I highly suggest. And the first film that I want to talk about is not Brick, but it is about the in-theaters film The Mule. This stars Clint Eastwood. Some may say it is his swan song, but we will see. He is a surprisingly active and hardworking 88-year-old. Yes, you heard me correctly. Clint Eastwood is 88 years old. And he is in the in-theaters movie The Mule. It is out right now if you want to go see it. And I will start off our show by talking about this film. So, The Mule, as I mentioned, is in theaters, and it does star the wonderful Clint Eastwood. It is also directed by Clint Eastwood, and I believe also produced by him as well. It is written by Nick Schenck, and it was inspired by an article by Sam Dolnick from the New York Times Magazine. Also, in case you're wondering, Nick also wrote the other Quentin Tarantino film, Gran Torino, so he has worked with Clint Eastwood before, and obviously Clint Eastwood likes the writing of Nick, and Nick doesn't mind writing stories for Clint Eastwood that specifically fit where Eastwood is right now in his career, which is a older male. So it is interesting that as opposed to just a film where Clint Eastwood could have just had makeup to make him look older, he sort of is just waiting out to find the right roles that fit where he is in life right now. So good for you, Clint, finding work no matter what stage of life you are, and not just retiring and stepping away, but staying in the game. So along with Clint Eastwood, who stars in this film as Earl Stone, you have Bradley Cooper as Colin Bates, who is a DEA agent. Tysa Farmiga as Ginny. Michael Pena as also a DEA agent, Allison Eastwood as Iris, Andy Garcia as Latone, who is a drug cartel boss, Lawrence Fishburne, who is also a DEA agent, who you know from the Matrix fame, and Diane Wiest as Mary, who is Earl's ex-wife. This film is about a 90-year-old horticulturist and Korean War veteran, who is Earl, and he falls on hard times and begins transporting cocaine through Illinois for a Mexican drug cartel, you know, just to make ends meet, like we all do when we fall on rough times. as I said, this is based on a true story, and the New York Times article inspired Nick. I would say it is not directly page for page what happens to Earl in real life. A lot of it is sort of like life is breathed into it by Clint Eastwood, who takes some liberties with Earl and sort of, as I'll discuss later, maybe portrays him in different ways. And it is a very interesting story. Also, this is about a 90-year-old, but Clint Eastwood is 88, but not that you can tell the difference. I would say I watched this and I'm like, oh, sure. He's practically 90, but I was like, yeah, he looks like he's 90. I'm sorry, Clint Eastwood. I had to be honest there. You're still doing great. Good job. Way to be out there. So to start off, I went to go see this film. It has been out for a little while, and I had read some conflicting critiques, so I thought that I might be in the theater alone. I was not, but it was like a weekday night, so I would say it was an audience of people who had like just gotten off of work and just wanted to relax. But the audience was younger. It is definitely a movie for adults. It is not for children, but it's a little boring. But it gets boring later in the film, because when I came in, I knew that it was about a older man who was transporting drugs. So because of that, I was nervous the whole first part of the movie, because I kept thinking there was going to be some like big gunfight or like big thrilling moment, you know, like we were going to like quickly come up to some like shootout or something. But then this was really frustrating because a big thrilling thing did not occur, and it just kind of kept going slowly along. So because of that, I was just nervous for no reason. Like my heart just started pumping and nothing happened. And I just got sweaty. Thankfully, there weren't that many people there, but I just like got really nervous and anxious. And that was never rewarded, I will say. And after that feeling of anxiety sort of slowly left my body, I realized that I had to strap in for a kind of slow moving, boring film. And yes, that is my general takeaway. I would say I felt it to be very slow, even though in the beginning I was nervous because of, you know, just the general premise. And that was not rewarded. If you're in for a big shootout action, if you're in for like a Dirty Harry type climax, that does not happen. This is not that type of Clint Eastwood film. Remember, he is 88 years old. He's not going to go running around with that type of stuff going on. Also, going off of Clint's age, I kept thinking about how old Clint Eastwood is. I was just like continuously worrying that he was going to fall over as he like tried his best to like shuffle around, you know, like to and from his car or whatever. Also, as I mentioned, he's the lead actor, director, and producer, so he's really keeping himself busy in all these twilight years, like despite his age. And there's even like a scene where he has to like walk backwards. And I just like, oh, like that was almost the most nerve-wracking part of the whole film. So I just kept thinking, he's totally going to fall over. Why in the world did you make this man do this? Like his steps are so tiny. It's like watching your grandfather trying to like open a door and fumble with his keys or something. It is extremely frustrating. And that made me scared. I can't even imagine all of the crew who were just hoping that that horrible event does not happen to Clint Eastwood. Also, it's kind of strange, but Clint Eastwood and his character Earl kind of make drug trafficking look sort of fun and surprisingly easy. Like he has this like sort of nonchalant attitude about it all. And like, he's just like, he seems just like a normal old man. So I'm like, oh, well, if he can do it, I mean, it doesn't look that difficult. Also, I will say this is called The Mule and it has to do with drug trafficking. He is not, he's not putting drugs in any part of his body. He is putting them in his car and driving them. So that is how he is transporting them. The reason he gets into it is because he is an extremely safe driver and he's like 90. So, you know, the police aren't going to suspect him of terrible behavior and drug trafficking, which is what makes him like the perfect person to do this, I guess. And he likes driving. So that's why he doesn't mind driving the long distances to transport what they have. He's taking it from like Texas to Illinois. So, I mean, all of those things combined, you just get to see like an elderly man like drive, which terrifies me. There's like a scene when he's like opening like an ice cream sandwich, like fumbling with it, and his hands are on the wheel, and that was also nerve-wracking to just be like, oh god, please don't get to an accident. And he just drives really slow, so classic older male. But I would say it's not a terribly anxiety-inducing movie, but there are little moments when you're just anxious because he's old, not because it has to do with drugs. Also, it is interesting that Clint Eastwood is an old man playing an old man. As I mentioned, I feel like as opposed to making up, like putting on a bunch of makeup to look old to get these certain roles, he just waited for that age to come upon him, and then he decided to take these types of acting roles. So I really think that's good on him. I think that is interesting, I guess, just because he is taking longer breaks between his projects, which makes sense because he is older. And it's just always curious to see what type of film he'll get and what is really written for him as an older actor. I think there just aren't a lot of those types of situations out in Hollywood where someone is just waiting for them to reach the right age to play a character, as opposed to just like deciding to change wardrobe or something, but waiting till the age actually hits you till you get older. I think that could be a bit of a risky move for some actors, especially women in Hollywood. But for someone like Clint Eastwood with such a reputation, I don't think he has to worry about not getting the roles. But it is interesting to see an actor do that in Hollywood. So I will say I found that intriguing, just as I found that with Gran Torino as well, Clint Eastwood's other film as an older actor. Before we continue talking about the film The Mule, we're going to take a quick break. So please hang tight and we'll be right back.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the film The Mule. Before the break, I brought up the topic of Clint Eastwood's older age as he goes into these different films, these different roles. Another thing that is noticeable about this film is some of the cast and some of the particular parts this cast plays. In general, this film does not offer a lot for Latino actors or even Latino viewers, because it really portrays Latinos either as gardeners or drug traffickers, or at least people who are affiliated with drug traffickers. I would say that's not, I'm not like watching this film thinking this is, you know, a great film with tons of diversity that offers diverse roles that people of different ethnicities can really get into, you know. It's really not about that. It's about an older white man. So I think that might appeal less to younger audiences because of that. Also, not only like does it involve Latino actors not having really super interesting or diverse roles, but like also Earl's attitude, the character, Clint Eastwood's character in this film, he has interesting like views and attitudes towards Latinos and other people of color. He acts as like a political correctness, aka like PC culture noob. Like, he just plays up the whole white guy stereotype of like fixing cars and not knowing about race or ethnicity and like just complaining about young people always being on their phones. He definitely brings up the phone thing a lot, but he really has no filter when it comes to not just identities of race or ethnicity, but also sexuality or just his interactions kind of with women. He sort of has that like I'm a grandpa type air about him where you're like, oh, that's just grandpa, he's racist, you know, but he's older. And so you're like, well, someone like that probably wouldn't think that they're racist. They just act like they are, or just like don't know the right vocabulary to use with different people who are not just white and male. So that is definitely interesting. Again, I feel like that will push away some viewers. Also, watching this film made me wonder what Clint Eastwood is actually like. Like, is he actually racist? Also, like, are Earl's like racial like quips and his like flirting, is that like reflective of who Clint Eastwood is in real life? And like, is Clint Eastwood using this movie to like send me a message that he's like this in reality and like we should all be like him and just be less sensitive to issues of diversity and things like that? Like, is that like an underlying message of this film, that it's okay to not know all of the correct vocabulary or have all the sensitivities to the others around us who are different? I'm not sure. I am sure that people will think about Clint Eastwood's own personal takes in politics and some of the other things that he has done in his life. But I'm just wondering if he's using this film as a vehicle in that way. He refers to Latinos as like beaners and other like not sensitive terms. His character tries to speak some Spanish here and there, and it's sort of like, feels like he's trying to just communicate with the people that he's working with, but could it also be kind of insulting, like potentially? It's very curious, and I don't know, it's interesting to think about. It made me consider who Clint Eastwood is just as a person in real life. Another thing about this film that is questionable, and this definitely bothered me as a female, there are some shots, some images of women scantily clad. And I will just say I saw a lot of boobs and butts, all of women. And really, this is just another movie where there are lots of attractive female bodies on display, and not so much in terms of attractive male bodies on display, because for all of the attractive, scantily clad women in bikinis and just not wearing anything that I saw, all I really got in exchange was like a shirtless 88-year-old Clint Eastwood, which is really not fair for the female viewer, because all the male viewers got, you know, all that they want. And I feel like the camera really does pause over some scenes of these women. Like, it dwells too long on certain body parts when it could just keep panning, but it stops and it dwells. And hence we as viewers must also stop and dwell. So that was very, it was a little too much for me. I wasn't a big fan of that. I mean, I'm sure Clint Eastwood is a nice guy and all, but like, really, did you really have to put it in like that into your film? You could have maybe, I don't know, someone could have been wearing pants. That's all I'm saying. Also, as like a spoiler alert to go along with all these female bodies, some of the reason they're on display is because Earl has two threesomes in this film. Two. Like, they're both implied. You don't see the full deed go down, but it's definitely implied that it happens and that for him, things go well. But it is really interesting to see, and I feel uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable watching older Clint Eastwood, you know, have these sort of sexual encounters with young topless women. I mean, is that ageist of me to say? Is that prejudiced against him? I don't know, but it definitely makes me feel more uncomfortable because of his age. And sort of part of me was like, this is just like a fantasy of like an older male, which also feels very uncomfortable to feel like I'm watching. So yeah, I have some mixed feelings about that. Also, throughout this film, there are parts like him being sort of insensitive to other people and him around all of these attractive, not dressed women. But there are also two main stories that are going on. You know, these other things happen, but there are two main stories that are trying to be told. And one of them is Earl's drug trafficking, which I have mentioned. He's driving cocaine for the Mexican cartel. But the other is Earl's separation from his family. So he's divorced from his wife, and he really always put his work before his family. Like, his daughter won't even speak to him. Also, his daughter in this film, she's played by his real-life daughter. And really, only on occasions does he join the family for events, and him joining is really prompted by his granddaughter, who invites him, like, to her wedding, and she advocates on his behalf to, like, other family members. And I really felt that Clint Eastwood and the writer Nick are trying to tell the story of a bad family man, but also like a strangely jolly drug trafficker. And he tells both tales, but he left me wishing for more nuance in both of these stories, in both the drug trafficking and in the family separation. And Earl is just like a character who became sort of like tricky to really understand. As the story progresses, Earl, he like moves more drugs, and it seems that the film could be gearing up to a story about greed. Because the more drugs he traffics, the more money he gets, and he keeps trafficking more and more drugs, bigger and bigger loads, so he just gets more and more cash. And so you think it could go into greed, but it really, that doesn't gain too much traction before we see Earl back with his family and receive forgiveness from them. So the story then turns again in a way that I feel makes me want to, like, it makes me want to feel sympathy for Earl. And it's like he's supposed to be complicated, but really he just comes off as a little confusing, and I don't really feel connected to him. And they like want me to feel sympathy for him, but I don't really end up feeling sympathy for him, mostly related to his family relationship and him putting work for his family. And him being older, he does seem to express some regret about that later in the film. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm not an older male, that could be, but it just made it difficult for me to connect with him because of that. He's not really sympathetic, and I'm not always sure where he's going. Like, does he really enjoy, he seems to almost enjoy the drug trafficking, and he gives no thought to who he could be harming, you know, by bringing in drugs, and who don't benefit from his actions. And I don't know, it's a bit, I just felt he was a bit distant. He wasn't really connectable, for me, at least. Also, I will say, this film is carried by Clint Eastwood's charm. Some of his best scenes are when, like, he's in his car, like, driving with all these drugs in his truck, and he's just singing along to old songs. Also, he still has, like, the best, like, scowl ever. You know, it's like the Dirty Harry scowl, like the Wild West type of scowl. His is really, it will always be just the best that there is out there. Another bright point in this film is really Bradley Cooper. He, to me, stands out. He plays a DEA agent, and he's on the trail of the drug cartel, which what ties him into Earl's story. I wish that he had some more scenes in this film, particularly scenes with Clint Eastwood, but he takes a clear backseat to Clint, Eastwood really just shines. Also, yes, it's Clint. We're on a first-name basis. I know. We must be close. Overall, it does seem that people who are older like this film more than I do. So, I don't know. Perhaps I'm just like a millennial, you know, the kind of millennial that Earl complains about all the time, who just like has no appreciation for like old-fashioned filmmaking, or, I don't know, a treasured Hollywood star like Clint Eastwood. Perhaps it's just me. And I'm open to that. It could just be a film that is not really made for me. You know, it's not, I'm not made to connect with the main character. I can accept that. Also, if you want to watch this film, or you've already seen it, or maybe you don't really plan on it, but you just want a good laugh, I highly suggest that you watch the John Mulaney and Pete Davidson SNL Weekend Update. They have a segment about the film The Mule. It's the normal Weekend Update, but then they bring on John Mulaney and Pete Davidson to talk about this film. It is very funny. I highly suggest that you watch it. I laughed very hard, and I watched it, and I was like, man, they really hit the nail on the head about this film. So I highly suggest it. You can just find it typing it into Google. We are going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about these wonderful films. We will be talking next about the film Brick.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hello and welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We have just finished talking about The Mule. We are now moving on to talk about the film Brick. Both films have to do with drugs. This is not necessarily about drug trafficking or moving drugs, but it is about a mystery and a crime that surrounds drugs. And this takes place in a small, or not small, but it takes place in a Southern California suburb. This is called Brick. It is directed by Rian Johnson. It was also written by Rian Johnson. And it stars a young Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Brendan. It also stars Nora Zettner as Laura, Lucas Haas as the Pin, Noah Fleece as Tug, Matt O'Leary as the Brain, Emily DeRaven as Emily. I'm sorry, that's Amelia DeRaven as Emily, Noah Sagan as Dode, Richard Roundtree as Assistant Vice Principal Truman, Megan Good as Kara, and Brian White as Brad Bramish. This is an older film, I believe 2006. So as I said, you can find it on Netflix right now. I believe it sort of recently came out on Netflix. I'm not quite sure, but I hadn't been able to find it in the past. So I was really happy when I came across it this time. It is very enjoyable, at least to me, which I will get into. It is a film about the teenage loner, Brendan. He ends up pushing his way into the underworld of a high school crime ring to investigate the disappearance of his ex-girlfriend. There is so many things in here, like a drug kingpin, young henchman, seduction, and like the smart best friend in charge of recon. It really is like a modern noir film, like as if there was a movie starring Humphrey Bogart in high school. Noir is sort of like the old Hollywood black and white crime detective films where there's like attractive women and you're never sure, like, do you trust them? And there's like a detective like Humphrey Bogart who's out there and, you know, trying to track down crime and figure out what happened. And he calls women like dames and things like that. And all about the glitz and glam of Hollywood, trying to figure out the story, trying to get the scoop on the crime. And a lot of other noir style caricatures come up in this film. Also, I want to mention this is the director, Rian Johnson. It's his directorial debut. And there are some really good elements to this film. For example, it has a great melancholy soundtrack that really adds to this like already empty, sullen tone. You also get to see some wonderful young actors, again, like young Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And so many of them, they have outfits and mannerisms that are reminiscent of like noir characters, like the femme fatale and like a know-it-all bookie, but yet they still fit into the high school landscape. And it's more like an homage to noir than it is like a satire of it. And it provides very memorable characters. Like I remember when I watched it when I was younger, it's how I learned like what a drug kingpin was. So, you know, learning fun things about life. Also, to enjoy this film, you really have to accept the noir vibe, the like detective-like vibe, if you want to enjoy it and sort of get into it. The characters don't act as if they think like their behaviors or one-liners are out of the ordinary. Like, they have all bought into that this is a detective noir-style film set in their modern day. There are some great detective-like one-liners, like, I've got all five senses and I slept last night. That puts me six up on a lot of you. Or, act smarter than you look and drop it. Like, there are some really quick one-liners that are very, like, quick, like, really cool detective style. And I really enjoyed that. However, the story and the crime itself, that Brendan is trying to solve, it can all be a little murky. It's not super clear as it's unfolding. It does provide a rich source of dialogue and like incidences and behaviors, but it can be confusing at times, especially with this old detective style slang. A lot of people that I've seen online have complained that there is so much slang that it's really can be a bit difficult to figure out what's going on. Also, like with that being said, it may not be for everyone, but it also can be a bit easier to enjoy like after like watching it a second time. So maybe the first time through you're not picking up everything because of the slang, but the second time through might be a bit easier to get. I really do enjoy the film, but I understand that it's not for everyone. However, if you're looking for something a little offbeat for like a next movie night, I would highly suggest it. I think it is very creative. I think it's very cute, and I really enjoyed seeing this type of noir film set in a modern day. It's very well done. I think it's intelligently written, and although it may seem confusing at times, at the end, some of the crime does get explained to you, so that does help. So I would say don't get discouraged. Watch it all the way to the end and find out what happens. It's a very good crime and a very good way that you see Brendan solve it. So I highly suggest. And that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you all so much for listening, and please tune in next time to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.